testing. Okay. 266, there was a line in that song I thought was just kind of struck me this morning of verse 3 there. It says, Savior, hasten thine appearing. Bring the glorious day when the awful summing's hearing, the heaven and earth shall pass away. I think of sometimes we don't think a lot about the judgment day of God and when heaven and earth shall pass away. It's hard to imagine, I believe, that when we think about those things, to just consider that the very thing that we're standing on is going to pass away. And all that remains are the two destinations for all humanity. It's very sobering. Some thoughts I had this morning. Thank you, Terry, for sharing that exhortation on worship. I am going to preach this morning a little bit from Romans chapter 12. I've just been looking at that at home and thought it would be good for us to do a little review over that in Romans chapter 12. Before we do that, why don't we all stand and we'll have a word of prayer, those that are able. Dear God, we do come before you here this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given each one of us here. We pray, Lord, that we could thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to worship you in truth and in spirit. Lord, we thank you for your word that abides forever. Lord, the things in life are going to disappear, but we have an anchor, the word of God, that we can turn to for direction and inspiration and correction and admonition, Lord, for our own lives, for this body, this church as a whole. Lord, I pray that we could be conformed more and more into the image of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would allow your word to work in my heart and each one that is here, Lord, to change us in the things that need to be changed. And Lord, we are needy. As we live in this life, Lord, there's many things that we need to consider and decisions to be made, Lord. I pray that you would grant us of your spirit and wisdom to do these things for us. We thank you for your mercy and kindness and forgiveness for our sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. We commit it to you in his name. Amen. Preceding Romans chapter 12, we have Romans chapter 11 where Paul, or the writer here, the word of God is saying how that the Jews were fell or they stumbled so that the Gentiles could be brought in, which is us. And then he warns the Gentiles that we should not be too proud or too haughty because that root that was taken out can be grafted in again. But I'd like to begin here with the last few verses in Romans chapter 11, just to set a foundation. And this kind of goes with what Terry was preaching here, that the omnipotent God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he's created everything that is in it, is worthy of our worship at all times. And sometimes we do forget that we wonder, even in the midst of circumstances, where God is, but he is to be worshipped even in the midst of some dire circumstances at all times. He is worthy. It says in verse 32 of chapter 11 that this is describing God. He's speaking of the general consensus that God has placed upon all humanity. In verse 32, that for God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. It's the mercy of God when we come to him and recognizing our need, needing the forgiveness for our sins. And then it says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? In other words, God the Creator never got any counsel from anyone. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And I think that's a good foundation just for us to consider, that he is to receive glory forever from his people. And then that is where he begins Romans chapter 12. And I'd like to say this to begin here, that these are very familiar verses, but I'd just like to take a fresh look at them today, myself, along with you, that this is a direction for the Christian's life, and that we can bring these eternal principles and make them alive in our hearts today, that we can have a righteous ending. That's the means to a righteous ending, is what he's giving us some of these things here. But we'll just go through these here slowly, and it says, the first verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The title of the message today is Your Reasonable Service. And I think that sometimes I've heard phrases such as, it's not about doing, it's about being, and there is an element of truth to that, but God does give us some responsibilities that we should do it cheerfully and willingly. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I believe that, you know, when in the Old Testament, or when they sacrificed something, there was something that was killed or slain. It was a dead sacrifice. But here he's talking about a living sacrifice, the body of Christ, the people of God, that they would be willing to suffer for his name's sake, even though while they live here on earth, that they would be a living testimony of the goodness of God. And that might be, that could touch, I would say, maybe the heart should be willing to offer time, talents, money, willing to sacrifice those things for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And what I understand here is the things that are within our means to sacrifice. That leaves a kingdom testimony and witness. If we're just greedy and look after our own interests and benefits, if that's all it is, we blend right in with everybody else. But if we present a willing to offer a living sacrifice, that leaves a clear testimony, and God calls us to be holy in our actions and conduct. He wants a holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then it says, it's acceptable unto God. That word acceptable means God is able to receive it. He is able to receive that. And then he asks, it's only our reasonable service after what he's done for us. The mercy of God in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us our sins and to dwell in our hearts by faith, is only our reasonable service that we offer a living sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, and here's that word again, acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think we could talk a long time here. It says, be not conformed to this world. And I believe that, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, since its inception there in Acts, was always in the middle of this world. It was always in the middle of, we could say, an unbelieving society. It was never isolated by itself somewhere. It was always in the midst of an unbelieving society. And that unbelieving society, because of what we read in Romans 1 this morning, what Terry read, is it says, be not conformed, and the image of formed or conformed would be, I think we could give several illustrations, but it would be, I get this picture sometimes of, you know, most of us are familiar with some molds or some presses or stampers, you know, like our the bumpers on our car, they're poured into a mold and they're conformed to that mold. And the fenders or any metal things, they're made in a stamping machine, that there's a flat piece of metal comes in and just stamps that piece. 100, you know, just right one after another. And that pressure will stamp that metal into the mold. And that's the word conform, that's what that means. And I look at the world is always at, the church is always militating against the church, or vice versa. The world is always trying to destroy the church, and it's pressing in. It's like I get this picture of maybe the globe here, or the world, and the church is in the middle here. I'm standing here, and the pressure's from everywhere, front and back, and the sides. The pressure's pressing in. But the Spirit of God, when that, you know, God wants us to look up. That's where our help comes from, that we can withstand that pressure by His Spirit. It's not of our own strength, not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, the Scripture says, that we don't need to be conformed to the world. And the world, they want us to be conformed to their image, and that can mean anything. The world idolizes riches, they idolize styles, they idolize hair, they idolize clothes, they idolize many things, and they want us to be conformed into that image. And the church is in a war. The church is in a war, but the church is going to emerge there victorious. We have that promise in that Jesus Christ himself said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But that nevertheless, that doesn't weaken that pressure from the world. The pressure that comes is consistent and it's strong. It's strong. We need to be alert and wary. The Satan's devices are deceptive. He's all about lying and deception. And he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I thought about the word transformed. We think of the butterfly. James, you're an electrician. Why do we have transformers out on the power lines? What do? That's right. They bring it down. They transform that power. They shrink it. It's a transformation. They change it. They change it. And then I think of our own minds. You know, the scripture says that a carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God, the carnal mind, our natural way of thinking. We need to change the way we think by the Spirit of the living God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm just asking us, how do we think? Do we think eternally? What is the eternal consequences of the decision that I'm making today? Do we think with humility, recognizing that it's only by the mercy of God that He's given us a new heart and a new mind? And praise Him for it. He is worthy to be praised, as we heard this morning. And the thing of it is, I've come to a clear conclusion here that the Christian's work is never done. I'm not perfected until I'm dead. There's work to be done, and God always wants to work in my life. I can't ever stand back. I think of the Apostle Paul. He said, not as though I've attained, but I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. And that's each one of us. God, beware if we think that we've gotten there. We haven't. Let us press toward the mark of the high calling of God. It's a high calling, but we want to remember that God is for us. He is not against us. He gives us His strength, of His strength. When I am weak, He is strong. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, he touches on that very thing. Acceptable. I like to, and then, you know, the thing that if we are willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice, there's things that the Lord chastens us at times, but afterward, the scripture says it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The things that we're willing to sacrifice, if I'm willing to give of my time to go talk to someone, if I'm willing to give of my money where there's a need, if I'm willing to give of any talent that the Lord has given me is not my own, I'm just a vessel today. That's it. He says this, and then that about the perfect will of God. You know, acceptable to God, there's some things, there's many verses that in the New Testament that we have a responsibility to live and do things that are acceptable unto God. And I believe, I read a quote this morning that I thought was very good. It says, cheerful obedience brings scriptural convictions. Think about that. Cheerful obedience brings scriptural convictions. That's for you children. When mom and dad tell you to do this or don't do that, that will develop your spiritual convictions because they're based on the Word of God. And then he says here in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, this is a warning. He's speaking to brothers and sisters. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think of that verse, but I think of myself. You know, it's easy to develop pride in things we do, but God help us with that. He warns us here that we not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. I think of, you know, to think soberly, I think if we're not sober and we're lighthearted, that is a good place for the enemy to get a foothold. I think it's just, I don't know. If you're just going to stand around and joke, I say beware, and I'm not against humor, but I say beware. He says we need to think soberly because, you know, life is short. I mean, life is very short. You know, I think that, you know, just last 2 weeks ago, my brother Mike was just called into eternity, just like that, bang. And life is very short for each one of us. I mean, if the Lord decides to close our books, that's how we're going to rise, the way our book was closed. Don't forget that today. Children, anyone in this room, if the Lord closed the book, that's how it's going to be opened and how we will rise again. That's why we need to be clear today. We never know. I'd like to talk a little bit about that measure of faith. Paul uses that in Ephesians several times. In Ephesians, he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I don't know, I believe this word measure here, we could call it if I can get a description here, I think. A measure, the way it means here, would be like we could look at a brick on the outside of this building would be a part, a specific brick or part, a measure of faith. And it, you know, and God, the thing of it is, I believe that God says if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, very small, He wants it to start. He wants that faith to grow and trust Him more and more as we grow to maturity. He's saying that, but He has given to every man a measure of faith. And sometimes, you know, the thing that, you know, faith is trusting God. And I believe sometimes there can be some false humility where we stand in a corner and say that, oh, I am nothing and I ain't worth anything and I don't think that's true. God has given every man a measure of faith that we can trust Him for what He has done and trust Him for what He will yet do. He's not, God, we're the children of the living, of the Most High God. The Scripture says we need to accept that in faith. And then He says the measure of faith, and then He says, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office. And we look at, we can use our physical bodies for an example. And we can draw many conclusions here of my arm is connected here, and you all know that. I don't want to go over it, but everyone is connected to in our physical bodies, but they all play or they all have different responsibilities. My feet are used to walk, my mouth is used to talk, my ears are used to hear, and things, and so on, eyes to see. And those things, we don't all do the same thing, but there's still one body. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So the thing that I'd like to just emphasize here, within the body of Christ here at Concord, that according to this scripture, that it says that we're all members of one another, that means that my life affects yours and your life affects mine. Does that make sense? The way I operate in my life will affect you, and the way you operate in your life will affect me. We're members one of another. So in a sense, we're accountable to each other, we're accountable to God, and yet while we dwell here, we're accountable to one another. And I don't look at that as a something against me, but it's a benefit for me to have you brothers beside me. That's a benefit. I wouldn't want it any other way. Everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him, do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I think I'll quit reading there, but I'd like to talk a little bit about those verses. The verse in Isaiah chapter 40, I think it says, if I can find it here, might need to turn to it. I thought I copied it, but I don't. Maybe I don't. I'll turn that to that right away. Isaiah chapter 40. You guys, you brothers know the verse. It's, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Yes, I have it here. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that wait, I think we need to look at that a little different, more in, or actually in the light of being a waitress or a server or a servant. Having then gifts, or verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Now that, the way we use wait in today's language mostly is delay or stalling or putting off. Let it go for some other, wait a little bit. You know, but here he's saying, I don't believe that the Lord wants us to wait to preach or to teach or to give or to rule or to show mercy, or he wants to be active in those things, very active. He wants us to be waiters and waitresses in those activities, be current. He wants us to prophesy, which means preach. The word prophecy in the New Testament means preaching most of the time. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And the thing that the preaching and teaching and the ministry and the opportunities in life that he puts in front of our path to minister or to teach or exhort or to give or to rule or to show mercy, and these things with cheerfulness leaves a true witness of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to anyone that receives it. That's the beautiful part of it. It's not us, but it's the Spirit of God that they can see that there is a new and living way, a new and living way. He says that to do these things with diligence, rule with diligence, and show mercy. You know, I believe that in the world, compassion, there's a lack of compassion everywhere because men are greedy and they want their own way and they want to have things for themselves. But if there's compassion, it sticks out like, I mean, it's just loud. If you're willing to show, be compassionate and merciful to people. And then he says here, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means, I had the definition wrote down here. It means hiding under a false pretense. To conceal the real facts, motives, or intentions and ideas under a false pretense. Hypocrisy. It says, no, let it be without no hidden agenda or motives. It says that let love be without dissimulation. I remember, you know, back in the day when, after I got converted and we were, you know, brothers in the church, and it was such a beautiful thing that when you talk to brothers and sisters, that there was just, it was transparent. There was love, and there was everyone, and I knew that they didn't have a hidden agenda, and I didn't either. We could share hearts in truth and sincerity. It's a blessing. It's always a blessing in the congregation if that love don't have any dissimulation in it. Remember that in your life. Remember that in your life. Without dissimulation. It says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And I think I heard a message the other day where in the garden, when God created Adam and Eve, he said there's two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said that if you eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. That's a sentence of death. And he likened that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He asked this question, which tree are we getting our nourishment from today? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would be what he called the knowledge of that world I talked about here a while back that's pressing in. There's knowledge available like never before. It's at your fingertips, on your phones. You can look up something and find something out from Argentina if you want to. If you want to find it, that knowledge, and is that shaping how we think? He said without a doubt that knowledge is from that tree of good and evil, where man has taken upon himself to decide what is good and what is evil. And they can, homosexuality is okay. Is that what God says? Which tree is that from? Those are real questions. We face those questions. And it's always pressing in. It's pressing in. And that constant pressure kind of causes us to grow lukewarm. Well, it was there today. It's still there tomorrow. It was there 2 weeks ago. It's still, and the familiarity of that pressure numbs us down to actually accept it. Well, maybe it isn't too bad. But we still have to let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the scripture says. It says in the latter days that they'll call good evil and evil good, and we see that all around us. Just be aware of these things. I know we are, but let's just be alert. It says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. And I know that I have experienced that, and that is a wonderful blessing. In honor, preferring one another. Am I looking out for the welfare of the needs among ourselves? Be kindly affection, have a heart. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I appreciate, I think of sometimes my zeal. Sometimes I feel my zeal is waning. The Christian life, as you get older and things are flowing and things are kind of, they can become mundane real quick. And the zeal of the Lord is diminishing. And God forbid, we need to nourish it, feed on the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that we can be zealous until he returns. It says that we should rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It's like, there's times in life when you get to a situation where you don't know what to do about it. I always come to that verse in Romans where it says that when we don't have anything to say, the Lord knows our groanings. He knows our heart's desire. There's situations you look upon and you're like, what can we make of that? How can we change that situation? It seems like it's beyond our help, we don't have the means to change that, but we can cry out to the Lord even without words. And he can change things. He's in the business of taking the things that are not and making them as if they are. It just and that should be encouraging for us because there are just things that you'd like to see change, and yeah. But let's just go on then. It says here, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And I am encouraged with your lives here. I know that you've employed these things, and it's a blessing. But I think that we just need to be aware of the tactics of the enemy and beware of the pressure in life that comes from the world, you know, because we're living in the world and not part of it by the grace of God. It says here, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And I think that back to that verse of gifts differing one from another, we have many members here, and we're not all exactly the same. We're not all the same, but as we worship together and read the same word of God, our hearts and minds should be knit together in love and pretty much come to the same conclusion in direction in life and the things that we, our aims and life goals, they should pretty much come to the same landing spot. And there can be varying things in that, but the word of God is to bring man together to worship him, that we might be, by the grace of God, of one mind and one accord. That is when the hand of the Lord is strong and the witness is sure, is when there's a people that are willing to dwell together, live together, and be of one mind and one accord. So those are just some exhortations this morning. I think I'm going to let it off right there. If there's something shared that was not the truth of God's word, why, you could talk to me about that. May the Lord bless each one of you.